This is the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, episode 432.
You're listening to the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray. Tune in every week for practical advice that will help you build your online audience. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to plan and host your own online Christmas market or pop-up event. And what I'm going to share with you is obviously going to be useful for a Christmas or festive market in particular, but can definitely be applied to any type of virtual or online event. And I'm going to be drawing on my own experience of running my own online Christmas market. I'm now in my third year of my online Christmas market, and I'm going to be drawing from what I've learned from that experience. And just to let you know, actually, if you're listening to this in November 2020, you may be just in time to join me on my online Christmas market. So it's happening from the 30th of November to the 4th of December. I'm going to have 25 sellers across 5 shows across the week. I'll tell you more as we get into the episode. Selling products and services from my Facebook page. It's going to be fab. It's going to be really high quality production. A great way to get your Christmas shopping done well ahead of Christmas. And of course, support small business owners like yourself rather than the big brands. It's going to be fab. Really excited about it. And I would love to see you there. So I will put a link in the show notes to my Christmas market, my 2020 Christmas market. I would absolutely love to see you there. And now on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to plan and host your own Christmas market or pop-up market. And although we'll be talking festive in this episode, what I share here basically could be used for any online virtual event, any kind of market that you want to host online or sale. So I'm going to walk you through the steps that you need to take from idea basically to hosting your online market or sale. So first thing that you need to do is to get clear on your aim and why you're doing it. What are you hoping to achieve? As you will hear in this episode, there is a lot of work involved in hosting an online Christmas market or even a one-off sale. So if you're going to do it, you've got to be really clear. Is it because you want to promote your own products or services? My own online Christmas market started because I had two aims really. I wanted to give my clients a reason to do live video and to do it in a safe environment with me to jump on and I'd almost interview them QVC style and get them doing live video. But also it was about supporting small business owners and particularly product-based business owners. That's how it started for me. I did have a clear aim in doing it because if you're going to put a lot of time into something, you need to understand what it is that you want to get out of it. It could be that it's strategic and you're looking to use this as an opportunity to maybe make alliances with others in your industry and join together with others. But I think it's just really important that you know what your aim or your outcome is because it's a lot of work and you want to make sure that you get out of it what you put in or hopefully more than what you put in. So once you've got clear on your aim, the next thing to think about is your audience. So you've probably heard me say this before on the podcast if you're a regular listener, but the average online conversion rate for online sales, or average conversion rate for online sales is just 1-2%. So that means for every 100 people in your audience, and by that I generally mean your email list because that's your real audience, only a handful are going to buy. So that means if you're looking to host an online sale or market, and if you're looking to collaborate with others, if you're looking to get like lots of people on it, then you do need a bit of an audience. Now, that's not to say you shouldn't do it if you don't, but this is just about being realistic about your expectations. So just to put this into context, I've got an audience, I've got a 24,000 email list, I've got 25,000 followers on Twitter, getting up to 20,000 on Instagram, 10,000 on my Facebook page, 35,000 plus monthly podcast listeners. So for me to run an online Christmas market, to have different sellers coming on and to get a bit of buzz about it on social media, then that's going to be, it's still going to be challenging. It's always a challenge. But when you've got an audience, it's not going to be as much of a challenge to get something like that off the ground. And what I find often with any kind of online offerings really is that people often, they go big too soon. So it may well be that you've got this idea for a market and you want to bring all these sellers on or whatever, but have you done a single Facebook live sale? Have you sold on Facebook? Because actually that might be the best place for you to start. Like if you're imagining that you're going to be able to, you know, run this Christmas market and you're going to have hundreds of people buying and selling on, it's going to be really cool, but you've got 100 people on your email list, that's going to be kind of challenging for you to do. There are ways around it, which I'll talk about in just a second. But I think you've got to get really clear on your audience. So how many people have you got in your audience? Now, social media audience is great. Social media followers are great. But actually, if you want to make real sales or you want to be able to influence people and get people to make real decisions, the email list is where it's happening. So when I think about my audience, yes, I've got all these followers on social media. But actually, if I want to get people to take action, that happens in my inbox. So 24,000 people in my inbox, that gives me a good chance of getting a lot of people to take action. And even then, it can be hard because there's so many competing interests, so many other things that are going on. But if you're trying to go on a big event and have, you know, hundreds of buyers and sellers, and you've got 100 people on your email list, like maybe aim for that next year. What could you do this year that you know that you could get enough engagement? You know, maybe it's about starting with you, or maybe it's about, instead of doing something on your own, maybe getting together with some other business owners in a similar space and doing a collaboration. But get realistic about your audience. Like, what is it that you're looking to get out of it? Like, do you have that critical mass of people to put on a big Christmas market yet? If you do, great. If not, how about trying something on a smaller scale first, and then you can build an audience for next year? So next thing, once you've thought about what your aim is, and then do you have the audience to help you to get to that aim, is to decide on the format. So are you going to just do a solo show? So are you going to rock up and do a 60-minute, 90-minute live just you? Are you going to do it in the morning, the evening? There's no real right time to do it. The right time is the right time for your audience. So it's just about using your common sense. If your audience are mainly mums who have school-age kids, then the evening might be better. But, you know, by the same token, the day might be better because they might be busy doing stuff in the evening. One way to find out is to poll your audience. So to ask them, like, you know, if I was to run this market or this sale, like, what would you prefer? People often tell you what they want you to hear. So sometimes it can be about going for what's convenient with you. You've always got the replay to send people afterwards. But is it going to be you? Are you going to do something like me with my Christmas market? We have a daily show every lunchtime. We bring on, in the past, we've brought on up to 6 sellers every day with themed days. So we've had, like, you know, beauty one day and food another day. We've had themed days. Like, what are you going to be aiming for? To some extent, if you are going to be doing a market with multiple sellers, you may want to leave the decisions on that until you get your applications in and see what kind of applications you get. But it may well be that if you're in a specific niche that you can decide that ahead of time. But, you know, how long is it going to be? When's it going to happen? What are the dates going to be? And in terms of planning, the great thing about online markets is actually you don't need loads and loads of notice. In fact, if you've got too much notice, you can find that people, they kind of forget about it. So you can, I mean, we're actually marketing ours and putting it on sale and getting it all up and running in a fortnight, basically, this year. I would suggest that it would be better to have longer, but we've just run a big online event, 2021 sorted, so we don't really have the luxury of that time this year. But you don't need lots of time. You could literally turn it around in a couple of weeks. The key thing is just to make some decisions. When is it going to be happening? Facebook, Instagram, whatever you decide. Are you going to go for a one-off? Are you going to repeat? Are you going to run it across the week like I do? So it's just about making some of those decisions. Is it just going to be you? Are you going to bring on multiple sellers? That really does take us into my next point, which is choosing the tech, because that will really determine the tech. So your next step is to think about your tech or tools. So if you haven't listened to it already, I have another really useful podcast episode for you, episode 431, which is all about how much it costs to host your own online Christmas market or pop-up market. And in it, I basically outline for you what you could expect to produce on a budget of £50, which is, you know, free or up to £50, £500 and £5,000. Now, if you're going to be bringing on multiple sellers, and if you haven't listened to this episode, I really recommend that you listen to it. I think you are going to need to invest in a little bit of tech. So in that episode, I talk about using a tool called Ecamm Live. That would be my preferred tool. And that allows you to bring multiple sellers on. I mean, you can do that on just using your phone or using your laptop on Facebook or Instagram, but my experience is that it's very glitchy. If you use a tool like Ecamm Live, you can do fancy things like you can put text up on the screen, you can put people's vouchers on the screen, you can have like 2, 3, 4 speakers on the screen at the same time, you can create fancy overlays, you can put your branding. For our Christmas market, we're going to have snow and music and countdown timers. Like, there's so much that you can do with it, which is going to create a much more professional finish. But aside from that, if you're bringing on other sellers, I think it's important that you have tech that can sustain that, that you've practiced it. Before I did my Christmas market for the last couple of years, I actually booked Ian Anderson Gray, who's my live event producer for my Christmas market and my recent content planning event 2021 Sorted. I actually booked him for a couple of coaching sessions to help me decide the tech, to help me practice. He gave me some checklists because, believe you me, bringing different speakers on, like sellers at a market, to talk about their products or services one after the other, like bringing people on and off, it actually takes a bit of planning. You're going to need to create quite a detailed minute by minute plan of what's going to happen so that you don't overrun. You're going to have contingency plans in case somebody doesn't turn up. So for our online Christmas market, we're going to be asking our sellers all to submit a 3-minute video in case anything goes wrong. And then we can just switch to the video. And again, using something like Ecamm Live allows us to do that. So have a think about your tech or your tools. You can just do it, especially if you're doing a solo show. You could just do it from your phone. You could just do it from your laptop or whatever. And have a think about the quality as well. You don't need any fancy tech, but investing in a decent microphone, investing in a ring light or some kind of lighting, all of that kind of stuff is going to help you to create a more professional broadcast. Now, it might well be that for your needs, so go back to what your aim was, that you don't need that, that actually you just need to sell your stuff. So going live on Facebook is going to be fine. But if you're looking to, and we'll get onto this in just a sec, perhaps you want to your sellers to pay for a spot on your market. If you're looking to attract sponsors, they're going to expect a high quality of presentation. They're not going to want to pay, I don't think, to come on to a dodgy Facebook Live that you've set up on your phone that's glitchy or whatever. So have a think about this realistically. If you want people to pay to be part of your market, or part of your broadcast, then what's in it for them? Like, what can you offer them? Really, really important. So next, it's about mapping out your process. Now, with my recent online Christmas market, now bear in mind, this is my third year, but I sat down, I use a tool called Asana, and I sat down and basically mapped out my process, like step by step. It's quite painful, especially for someone like me that doesn't naturally love doing this kind of thing. But it really starts with what's the very first thing that we need to do. So actually for us, it can be like, you know, what's the name of it? When's it going to happen? What are the dates? How long is it going to be? Where's it going to happen? Like really like actually just mapping out a list of the things that you need to do in the right order. It will help make sure that you don't miss things out. And then what's the process going to be for your sellers? What's the process going to be for your buyers? So when I did this for our Christmas market, this got me thinking about the content that I needed to create, and that helped me to make a list of the content, the functional content that I needed to create, and there's lots of it. So for example, for my Christmas market, we do have sellers. We've got 25 sellers across the week. So that's a lot of people to manage, a lot of people that you've got to get in the right place at the right time and make sure they have all the right information. And that really starts with your sales page. So on my list, we had participants register their interest via a sales page. And then once they've registered interest, they can either register interest as a buyer or a seller. So if they register as a buyer, they get an email saying, thanks for registering. We'll keep in touch and let you know when the market's happening. If they register as a seller, they get another follow-up email, which delivers them the Christmas market seller's guide and some more information. And then it gives them an application form. If they decide that they want to apply, they have an application form. Then you need to think about what happens next. So if they are successful, so another thing we had to plot on our calendar is having a meeting then to look at all the applications and decide which ones we're going to go through. So then those people who are successful, we have to write an email for them, telling them what to do next. And then that's a whole sequence of emails that get them ready for the broadcast, including getting them to join you at a rehearsal. That involves creating some kind of booking process for them to book in for a rehearsal. You don't have to do that manually. So we use a tool called Calendly. And then those people who are unsuccessful, you need to line up an email for them as well. So this is a lot of content. And this is, we haven't even got into the content of the actual market yet, that has to be created and thought through ahead of time. So what's the process going to be? It's also about mapping out dates. So if you're going to open your application, so in our case, we opened the applications for my Christmas market on the 16th of November. We decided beforehand that we're going to close applications on the 18th. The meeting is on the 19th to decide. And then on the 20th, we're going to be announcing the successful sellers and letting those people who are not successful know about it. All of that has to be planned. All of the content has to be written in advance just for that little piece of it. So there are quite a lot of moving parts. Then we've also created a Facebook group for the sellers so that they can get together in there and We've also got a rehearsal date on the calendar on the 27th. So they'll be put into that Facebook group so they can chat to each other and ask and talk about, you know, how they're going to promote the event, which leads me to another set of content, creating materials to help your sellers promote the event. They're going to be much more likely to promote it if they've got artwork that you've created for them, if you've pre-written tweets and Facebook posts and email marketing copy, that's going to make it much easier for them to do it, to tell everybody about it. And then it's going to be about moving on to promoting it to your buyers then. So once you've got your sellers sorted and you've got their reminders and their rehearsals, there's going to be people that need to be put in place to support on the day and make sure that everybody's in the right place at the right time. So all of this, really, the event process, I've got it all mapped out in Asana, and all the dates, this needs to be mapped out beforehand. And as you're doing this, you've probably got an idea of the kind of content that you need to create, and you start off thinking, okay, well, I need a sequence of emails for the sellers and one for the buyers. And then suddenly you're like, oh, I need that as well. So for example, we created a Google form for the application, but then we realized that we would need to send our sellers another Google form to give us their final details. So exactly what they're going to be selling, voucher codes that they're going to be using, photographs that we can use. And again, all of this has to be thought out and mapped out in advance. So that process, I think, is going to take you a little bit of time. What is going to be the process from somebody like first hearing about the market to either being a seller or being a buyer? That's, you know, two whole streams of content that need to be created. You're probably also going to need to create some kind of sales page, listings in a shop. And once the market is over, you have to think about that as well. I hope you're not feeling overwhelmed by now. But at the end of each day, in my case, we've got a daily market. So it's making decisions about, are we going to email our interested buyers every day with the replay? So that all needs to be set up and scheduled. At the very end of the market, I'm going to be emailing everybody on my list to give them the final replays and if they want to go back and watch anything, and also a list of the offers and the deadlines. So that's a lot of content. And I haven't even talked about our messenger bot yet as well. That's also going to be reminding people can register for that, and they can also buy through the bot as well. So that is a lot of content that needs to be created. The great thing about it is once you've done it for one market, I mean, I'm actually thinking about packaging up and actually selling a kind of virtual market in a box, because once you've got all of this content created, it can just be adapted and updated, which is great. But you do need to think about all the things that you will need. And that's just, I call it your functional content. It's just the content that you need to create to make sure that people have the information that they need, that they're in the right place at the right time. And then we move on to the fun stuff, which is the marketing content. But you might have heard me talk about this on a podcast episode before. I really believe in creating the functional content first, like the kind of boring stuff. Sorry about that. And then you've got a lot of content that you can then repurpose into social media posts, into promo emails. You can use it to create Facebook Lives or podcasts or Instagram Reels or whatever. But if you've got all that functional content first, it's much easier to create the more promotional content. So then you've actually got your show. I've already mentioned that it's worth, well worth, and we will certainly do this for my Christmas market, and also did it for my 2021 sorted event. You need a spreadsheet, basically, which has got a minute by minute, like what time, I mean, literally on ours, I shared some of them on Instagram stories actually, but it would have things like, so for the Christmas market, it takes place between 12 and 1, but our spreadsheet will probably have, you know, 11:30, Sam open up the stream, or Sam open up speakers group or whatever it might be, 11:40, Ian start stream, 11:55, a first seller join the broadcast, 11:58 countdown timer. It will literally be minute by minute to make sure that nobody overruns, and that if anything goes wrong, we know exactly what to do. And contingency plans, really important as well. Backup plans of backup plans of backup plans. So next thing, you're going to run your show. So whether it's a day long, or it's not going to be a day long one maybe, but it could be an afternoon or a morning or an evening, or like mine, it might be spread across a week or across a weekend. And then it's not all over then, because as I've already mentioned, you need to, in order to make sure that your sellers and that you get the most out of the event, you need to follow up. So follow ups might be emailing your list or emailing your social media or contacting your social media audience with all of the links from your sale and giving people a last chance to buy. And it might also be about thanking. So I always put on my plans thanking the speakers. So at the end of 2021 sorted, my recent content planning event, I think it was on the day of the event, I spent an hour just sending voicemails to all of the speakers to thank them, knowing that it was done. It was on my list and I just got it done on that day. And then the best time often to fill up one event is while you're at your current event. So what you might decide to do is that you, if you run a successful Christmas market or some kind of pop-up market, that you want to sell places or you want to get people excited about the next one. So in that case, I would really advise having some kind of wait list ready. So that as people are kind of finishing up on your event, they're really excited, they've had a great event, then you are getting them on the wait list or maybe even selling them into the next one while they're still excited. The other thing that you might want to do as well is to plan in circulating people's results. So like, how did your sellers do? And this is really going to help with bookings for the following event. How do people do? What kind of sales did they make? So also creating as part of your process, some kind of reporting process so that you can easily find out how much each seller makes. It's so easy when you're busy to forget about all of this stuff and ideally grab testimonials from them while you can. I just had to grab some testimonials from last year's sellers because I didn't do that for my Christmas market. So, and it's time consuming when you've got other stuff to do. So I hope that's given you a bit of an idea of what's involved. So step one, get clear on your aim. What is it that you're hoping to achieve? Step two, get clear on your audience. Do you have enough people to put on the kind of event that you'd love to put on? If not, is it worth starting with a smaller solo event or is it worth finding people to collaborate with in your space? Next, it's about deciding the format. How long? Is it going to just be a one-off? Is it going to be spread over a number of days or even weeks? Are you going to be, what kind of budget are you going to go for? Then it's about deciding your tech or your tools. And that probably is going to influence whether or not you're going to just have a solo show or you're going to be bringing in sellers as well. Then it's about sitting out and mapping your process and like, what's the process from somebody, you know, registering their interest either as a buyer or a seller? And what needs to happen to make sure, you know, every step of it mapped out, what content needs to be created. You'll be surprised there's a lot of content that needs to be created to make this go off, even just for a solo show. But the great thing is that once you've created it, is that you can recreate that every time. Create that functional content, the sales page, the promo emails, the seller's guide or whatever, get that all created first. Make sure you've got all your dates booked in the diary for your rehearsals and your deadlines or whatever. And then create your marketing content. Creating that first makes it easier and quicker usually to create your marketing content because you can repurpose a lot of stuff. Then it's about running your show and making sure that you've got enough support, that you've got a really good minute-by-minute schedule in place to make sure that everything happens when it should do. And ideally, you want to be thinking about filling up your next live show or live event while you're still on the current one. So that might be about getting people on a wait list. It might actually be about making a special offer to people to make sure that they sign up a reduced offer to sign up for the next one as a seller. So all of that needs to be considered. Other things you might want to consider along the way. So when you're making your decisions about format, you might be thinking about whether you're going to charge sellers or have a fee for that. You might also be thinking at that stage about whether you're going to approach sponsors to support your event. I talked a lot more about this in my episode on how much it costs to put on your own online Christmas market. But this really does come down into audience and also to your broadcast quality as well. So I would always recommend, actually, if you are bringing on multiple speakers, I would recommend getting into the habit of getting them to pay, even if it's a small amount, just painful enough so that they don't want to let you down. I ran my Christmas market for the first 2 years with no fee and most people were great, but there were some people who maybe didn't see the opportunity. They let me down at the last minute or they didn't test their tech. And I think just making it a small payment, painful enough so that people will show up and give it their best, can really, really help a lot, even if it is just a small amount to start with. When it comes to things like getting bigger seller payments or when it comes to things like getting sponsorship, it really does come down to audience. So this is why I'm always banging on about building an audience, because having an audience is not just about being able to sell your own products and services. You have something that's valuable to other people. So I've introduced a seller's fee to my Christmas market this year. My main reason actually is about making sure people have got skin in the game. And it's £100 for people who are in my Build Your Online Audience program. So my existing clients, it's heavily discounted. And it's just painful enough to make sure that they show up and painful enough, I guess, to make sure that they put enough in to make sure they at least make a return on their investment. For those who are not my clients, who haven't invested in me or my programs, it's £540, but it includes membership of my Build Your Online Audience program and some bonus content as well. So your audience is valuable if you have one. My audience is valuable. So if you think about how long it would take somebody to build an email list of 24,000, and remember that when you're putting people in front of your audience, when you've built a platform, they are warm leads. Because if you sell on my market, and I personally have, I've reviewed your application, I have decided that I think your product is a good fit for my audience, and I bring you on my show, what I'm saying to my audience that I've built up is, I trust this person. Like, I think you need to know about them. I think that you need to know about their product or service. That carries a lot of weight. That is a warm audience. And that is something that people do want to invest in. It's the same with sponsorship. The bigger your audience, or not always the bigger your audience, the more engaged your audience is. But if somebody can see that you have an audience of the kind of people they'd love to get in front of, and it would take them time or money to build the same kind of audience, you've got something valuable there. So that's something to think about when you're thinking about charging sellers fees. Do you have an audience? Are there people in your space who would love to get in front of the people that you've got in your audience, and would be able to benefit from that by making sales, or otherwise, you know, in the case of sponsorship, benefit in some other way from being in front of that audience? It's huge. It's powerful. So it may well be that you're not there yet, but it might be something that you want to work towards. But that's going to influence your decision over whether you have a seller's fee or not. Something that I'm doing with my market this year is we're putting a proportion of the seller's fees to charity, which is really nice, because for me, a big objective is about encouraging people to support small businesses and actually support people this year who are not going to be able to have the kind of Christmas that they would normally have due to COVID. So, you know, when you have an audience, not only is it something that you can use to sell your own products and services, other people want to get in front of your audience, but you can also use that platform to good for good, which is what I'm hoping to do with my audience. So I hope that's been helpful. It's given you a bit of an overview of how to plan and host your own Christmas market. But actually what I've shared here, I think, is a process you could use for any online sale. I haven't gone into the specifics of how you actually sort of structure your sale. That's going to be up to you. But why not come along, if you're listening to this in advance, to my Christmas market and see how we do it? Each seller gets 10 minutes. I'm leading the questions, so I'll ask them to talk to me about their products and services to help them feel comfortable and relaxed. And, you know, there's lots of different formats that you can choose. There's no one right way or wrong way to do it. You know, there's no right or wrong amount of time to have your sellers on there. So it's worth, you know, having a look at what other people are doing and seeing what might work for your audience. What I would say is, if you're not particularly experienced on live video yourself, might be better to start with a solo show, or maybe you and a collaboration with somebody else. But hopefully this has given you an idea of what could be possible, what you could work towards, or maybe you're ready for this right now and you just needed somebody to give you permission to go ahead and do it. And that, if that's the case, it's really, really exciting. And as ever, I do love hearing from you. So if you've got any questions, then get in touch on Instagram. Is usually the best place to connect with me. I'm over on @JanetMurrayUK.
If you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, do check out her Build Your Online Audience program over at buildyouronlineaudience.com. The Build Your Online Audience program is the essential resource for anyone looking to build an engaged online following. If you want to attract more leads online so you can stop wondering where your next sale is coming from, or if you want to launch a dream project like an online course, book, or podcast, the Build Your Online Audience program has everything you need to grow an engaged online following. Head over to buildyouronlineaudience.com to find out more.